The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 923. It's the 14th of November, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Gil Holzman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas, that's ECO ticker. And Gil discusses raising 14 million Canadian dollars by way of subscription from Africa Oil Corporation at a 30% premium to the market price. He also discusses other progress at the company. Plus, I also have Alan Green, CEO of Brandon Communications, talking about Prairie Mining, that's PDZ, Petrofract, PFC, and Hemogenics, HEMO. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Gil Holzman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas. That's ECO ticker. Gil, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Justin.
And it's nice to get you back on to give an update, because we're seeing the story evolve, and I think people are starting to catch on here, which is nice. So before we get into the news of late, first of all, Gil, for people not aware of the story yet, can you explain what you're all about, please, as a business?
Yes, Eco Atlantic is an AIM-listed company. We listed the company on AIM just in February this year. We are dual listed. We are also listed in the Toronto Stock Exchange Ventures. And we are focused on oil and gas exploration in stable jurisdictions across the Atlantic margin, in West Africa, in Namibia, and in the Caribbean or South America, in Guyana, two of the most hottest places for exploration these days. Through a series of transactions of late, we managed to secure big partners on both in both areas. In Namibia, we are partners with Azinam and with Tullow Oil, whereas in Guyana, we are partners with Tullow Oil and a potential farm in by Total. We signed an option agreement with Total. They can farm in the next 4 months, taking a 25% stake in our block. This is the strategy of the company. We come in early, we identify prospective oil basins somewhat underexplored. We come first in, we negotiate our way to petroleum agreements on as much as possible favorable terms, and then we de-risk the play internally, and later we partner with the bigger companies like Tullow, like Total. The fact that you and I speak more and more in the past few months, I think it's a good evidence for us keeping very busy and progressing the portfolio and progressing the business moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. And as far as your areas are concerned there, what do you know in the way of prospective resources? What numbers do you have there, Gil?
According to our internal and both third-party analysis, both of Tullow and the rest companies that are working hand in hand with us, we see a prospect of 750 or 800 million barrels in one block in Namibia, in the Cooper block, which hopefully will be drilled in the next 12 to 18 months. Whereas in Guyana, we already quoted 1 billion barrels of prospect over two targets in our Orindwick block. But we recently completed a very extensive 3D program with Tullow. We shot more than 2,500 square kilometers. This is being processed as we speak. And we believe that the 3D will not only amplify the current target, but will enable us to identify additional prospects. So the number of 1 billion barrel might even grow.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's get to the most recent news, and that's your $14 million subscription by Africa Oil Corporation. And it's quite rare that you get, they do happen, but it's quite rare you get subscriptions where they're at a premium. Take us through some of the detail here, please, if you could, Gil.
Yeah, Africa Oil Corp is a very reputable company. They have a big discovery in Kenya, by the way, in partnership with Tullow. They already sanctioned the development of this oil field that should contain anything between 500 million to 1 billion barrels. They are quite busy in developing that field. However, they never never lost their appetite for good exploration plays, and I think that Eco Atlantic fits to them in the sense that we are focusing entirely on exploration, and as I said, based on our strategy, we know how to move quickly and to enter into prospective oil basins and take some interesting exploration blocks. I think there's a very big synergy between the two companies. Africa Oil is a well-established, cashed-up company with great management in the form of Keith Hill, the president and the CEO. And they wanted some exposure to our current portfolio in Namibia and in Guyana, as well as signing a strategic alliance agreement going forward, according to which we will try to identify, again, prospective oil blocks to explore together. So the fact that we have such a big name as a shareholder, and they have almost 20% shareholding in the company right now, and the fact that Keith Hill is joining our board, I think it strengthened Eco Atlantic dramatically. And on the other hand, I think Africa Oil will get exposed to the current portfolio, as I said, and to new ventures that we will pursue together. Of course, they wanted to come in. They looked at our portfolio. They evaluated us at much higher numbers, and therefore for them to pay a 30% premium to the market price as of Friday was a kind of an easy decision. As I said, they take 20% of the company. They get a board seat for Keith Hill, and they believe that our internal value is probably much more than what they paid.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a vote of confidence in you guys, their management and your strategy and your resources. So, okay, and so just to reiterate, going forward now, what's the next sort of bit of news shareholders and people to look out for, Gil?
So first of all, we are now, we are now cashed up. We have more than $15 million in the bank account, and we are about to meet additional $12.5 million the minute Total will exercise their option in Guyana, hopefully in the next 3 to 4 months. That will bring us to a $30 million cash position in the bank account with Total as a partner. We also aware that Namibia is extremely active these days and going forward towards 2018 and 2019 with some already confirmed exploration wells by Chariot, by Talo in the adjacent block to us. So both Guyana, which is one of the most busiest exploration area in the world right now, and Namibia, that is gradually becoming more and more active, will be a source of both internal and external catalyst to the company going forward. On top of that, as I said, we are now on a hunt to try and put our hands on yet additional prospective exploration blocks, and hopefully we'll be able to communicate to the market some success in that sense soon.
Excellent stuff. And as always, Gil, if someone's listening right now and they're not yet following you but like the sound of what you're doing there, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button then.
As I said, now we are cashed up. We have some internal catalyst in the very near future, and we are gearing up for drilling activity in both Namibia and in Guyana in the next 12 to 18 months. We already applied for drilling permits, by the way. We announced that 2 weeks ago we applied for drilling permits in Namibia, and we started the EIA clearance procedure. I think that the next year with the ever-changing environment to positive towards the exploration, oil exploration world, I think there's a lot to come and there's a lot to witness, and the best way to follow us is on Vox Market, obviously.
Excellent, Gil, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Justin. Have a nice day.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Brandon Communications, Alan Green. You're Al.
Very good morning from sunny Seaford, Jess.
Is it sunny there?
Yeah, well, it's just a bit. Yes, it is, actually. We're sort of scudding clouds. There is some grey on the horizon, but it's been an okay start so far. Not quite as bright as yesterday, but hey, who's complaining?
Yes, well, I'm not. Anyway. All right, what are you looking at today? Which couple of stocks or three stocks are you looking at?
Okay, got three stocks for you. Looking at Prairie Mining, first of all.
Yeah, know them.
The epicode is PDZ. Now, this is prairie mining is a play on coal, and obviously coal, as you know, common sense would dictate, is classed as a critical mineral by the EU, particularly coking coal.
That's
which,
it. That's the definite. Do you know what? I had the guys on the podcast, and he said, "I've got to explain that it's not just coal; it's coking coal, which is essential for industry, isn't it?" So
it is. Yeah, it's on the EU critical list, and. The company have two projects in, two mines in Poland, and strategically, the mines are very well placed to supply the European steel industry, very close to railways and other sort of infrastructural networks, and the mines are specializing in coking coal, and that the projects in particular or the first project, which is called the Jan Karski mine, is special for a number of reasons. It's been referred to as the most advanced coking coal project in the Northern Hemisphere, which is no mean achievement. The company, the mine, Jan Karski mine, produces quality coking coal, and it attracts a 10% premium to the price. Coking coal sells for around $200 a ton, and it attracts a 10% premium because it's high quality stuff, and obviously for certain smelting processes, it's rubbish in demand. Prairie Mining operate or are developing the mine in conjunction with China Coal. They have a partnership with China Coal. So China Coal clearly recognised the potential, and given China's appetite for ore resources, that they recognise strategically, it's very important for them to get involved here. Operating costs on the mine are something like $25 per ton. So against the cost, that gives a very healthy profit. The high quality coking coal, there's an estimated JORC resource of 139 million tons at the Jan Karski project, with a total of well over 700 tons across all the seams which are in the region. But the high quality stuff is obviously the premium stuff that Jan Karski is renowned for. There are two mines operating in Czechoslovakia that supply the region with coking coal, and these mines are going out of production in 2022. So next year, the construction will start in earnest, and there'll be a production ramp up basically in 2023 to take over where the mines have or the Czechoslovakian mines have currently been supplying the region. There have been sort of several research articles written by various brokers over the years. Before I go, I look at those. I just want to refer to the other project as well. The second project is the Debiensky mine, which is in southwest Poland, very close. It's about 40 kilometers from the Czech border. This Debiensky produces hard coking coal, which doesn't sell for as much, or it doesn't attract the premium price that the Jan Karski quality coking coal will. It's strategically well placed, again, has a 15-year mining license, and it's very close to two operating hard coking coal mines, so it can dovetail into the distribution network very easily. It's got a 50-year mining license. The non-JORC estimate, that's to say this is an estimate provided by local engineers, is somewhere in the region of 210 million tons, and again, it won't sell for $200 or $210 a ton. It'll probably sell between, I don't know, $170-$180 a ton. Nonetheless, that is a massive, massive amount of coal. I'm going back to the research now I referred to earlier. First of all, the brokers or the research note points out the coking coal is on the EU critical list. There are huge steelworks all over Europe which will require this coking coal to fire their smelters. Additionally, with Jan Karski, we've got China Coal, the China Coal joint venture, and obviously they're going to be taking a lot of that coal too. Plus, you've also got the recent ThyssenKrupp and Tata joint venture in the region, which is going to be an enormous steel manufacturing plant, which will have a prodigious appetite, I would suggest, for coking coal too. Align Research put out a note with this information in and said that they believed currently Prairie Mining had a valuation of 118 pence. That's versus the current 31 pence. And there's some real quality management in the mix too. Ben Stojkovic, who's the CEO, is ex BHP Billiton, The company are thought to be a very attractive M&A target for some of the bigger mining concerns, because clearly with these advanced projects, they can be any company looking to potentially acquire Prairie Mining would see a very well advanced organization with some great projects, strategically well placed and very close to production. So this is a very exciting company. Shares have been as high as 45p so far this year, as low as 21p. It's currently 31 pence with a market cap of just 52 million. So if you do the math on the coking coal on the JORC estimate for Jan Karski and the estimate for Debienski alone, you can see that we are many, many, many times potentially, in terms of valuation, well ahead of where the share price is today.
Yeah, well, do you know, I'm just looking at that. I mean, they're on my watch list. And they've got a price alert on them because they're a massive resource here.
And, it's huge. Absolutely, yeah, and, absolutely huge.
I'm looking at their presentation there. It's got multiple tier one coking coal projects combined NPV, that's of course Jan Karski and Debienski, of $3.3 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a projected annual EBITDA of $630 million. So
That's versus the current market cap of 52 million. Mm. You know, I think the investment community are going to wake up to this potential very soon. And also, it's not jam tomorrow. You know, the production, the
manufacturing tomorrow.
Yeah, it's coking coal tomorrow, but manufacturing starts next year. And this company has the potential to become one of the major coal players in the world in a very short space of time. And we could be trading on multiples many times where we are today already. I think it's investors need to look at this. It's a critical mineral, and going forward, that to my mind offers considerable potential.
Yeah, news out, inflation still at 3% now. There we are.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, what's the next
company? Buy shares, invest in shares, because they will outperform inflation.
Yeah, hopefully. They're saying
buy Shell, the dividend will beat inflation hands down.
Or BT, which is at the moment at a multi-year low and paying about 6% dividend. And, it's oversold on every metric. It'll be weeks before it starts to turn around, I think. Within a couple of weeks, it'll be turning around. All right, what else are you looking at, Al?
Okay, want to go back to, we spoke about this company a couple of months ago, well-established company in the oil industry, Petrofac, PFC is the epic code.
Mm-hmm.
Petrofac, it's a great proxy for the oil industry because they are oil services and they provide all of the engineering construction resource, the production resources, they also have an asset portfolio of integrated energy services too. But it's a good proxy because they supply all of the big oil companies with their equipment and staff and resources and so on. They've been in business for 36 years. You may remember five, 6 years ago now, they demerged EnQuest from the group. The company, going back to the interims in August, profits and EBITDA were down from previously, but the order intake had dramatically increased, and indeed, subsequently, they won a €340 million contract in Turkey and a $700 million contract in Sakhalin in Russia. So the company is very well placed for the second half of the year. Brokers are very positive on the stock. The stock's currently trading at it's dipped down to I think £4.12, and all the price targets are £5, £6, £7 price target. The company, I think the only cloud on the horizon for the company at the moment is, and it's not really material cloud in regard to the actual structure of the company itself. The CEO, Ayman Asfari, who's been with the company for I think it's inception, has been charged by the Italian authorities for illegal dealing on the markets there. He's robustly defended his position and said he's not guilty and he will be defending forthwith. So there's nothing more on that, but that was out a few months ago and that obviously weighed on the stock. But the Petrofac shares have traded as high as just under £10 this year and as low as around £3.70. So we're still very much at year lows. And with those two contract wins under its belt, and also I think most in the industry are predicting a continuing upturn in the oil price, this company still looks very cheap trading as it does. So I think we can see some more upside going forward.
Yeah, it needs something, doesn't it, to move it, because it's trading that range there between, almost £5 and £4, £4 and £5, up and down, as you'd suggest. It's almost like put an alert on, £4.75. If it breaks above that, then you'd suggest it's going higher, because it hasn't been above that for a while now, since at least before June. So, anyway, marvellous. PFC, Petrofac, anything else, Al?
Yeah, just wanted to mention another stock that that came to the market. Well, I say came to the market. It was was emerged from the company that was Silver Falcon. That's Hemogenics Pharma.
I've heard a couple of people talking about this on social media. I think a couple of guys there, more experienced guys in the placing there, I think they are. So, so tell us about this, because I've heard a couple of people saying look into this. So just remind us, what is it all about? What's it all about, Alan?
What's it all about? Okay, it's the company have developed cell therapies that replace stem cells, and the treatment can potentially replace chemotherapy and radiation treatment for tumors and cancer by using stem cells to replace the affected cells. It's revolutionary. It's developed by the CEO Vladimir Sandler, it was the project was spun out of the State University of New York, that's Cornell University, not the State of New York. Vlad Sandler is also a research professor at the State University of New York. I got those two mixed up. I mentioned this last time. Cornell University have obviously a stake in the project, and they have $372 million. They've taken half cash and half shares, so they're invested in the future of the project, which is very encouraging. Currently got a market cap of $11 million. When it came to market and everyone was talking about it, the shares popped up to three and a quarter pence, and they drifted back a bit. But at the weekend, there was an article in the Mail on Sunday that the company was conducting or would be conducting a collaboration with Oxford University to further develop the treatment. And clearly, this has caught the imagination of investors. As with all these, we see many stem cell therapy companies around at the moment. We see companies like Advanced Oncotherapy, of course, developing proton beam therapy technology. But this is a hybrid from the stem cell therapy area, and I think it offers a very exciting alternative to chemotherapy and radiation therapy going forward. Some patients become weak, and they chemotherapy and radiation becomes impossible for them to continue with. So indeed, this as an alternative, this looks very, very promising for the future. The company is currently worth $11 million, and given the potential of the technology, the market in USA and Europe is estimated to be some $9 billion. There is enormous potential and enormous upside for Hemogenics Pharma.
Hemo is H-E-M-O is a ticker there.
H-E-M-O. That's the epic code. Yes.
Let me do some reading of that. First of all, I'd like to put something on a price alert. You know, if it tips that, then it'll pique my interest, because if it, to me, it's all about the price. You know, if it flies away, I'm not interested.
Yes,
I don't care what the company does.
Gone. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I never chase a share price, so it only piques my interest if it's a bit of a bargain, or it's, you know, yeah, or a bargain, but hitting lows, and there's potential there. Marvellous, Al, thanks for that. And in fact, let's look at it, because yeah, it took ages. It for SILF, wasn't it? SIL, Silver Falcon, it came from.
That's right.
It took ages, Falcon, and the people were in that, locked into that for a long time.
Yes.
I know they're glad that they came back. So it went down to 2.5 pence, and it shot up recently to 3.5 on that Daily Mail deal. It's up today, I think. So
That's right.
Daily Mail coverage, but
it's up against today. I mean, clearly, with something like this, it's they're developing the technology and refining the technology, and then they have to go to FDA approval in the US and approval through the various authorities they have to go to clinical testing and everything else. But you know, so the company's got a long way to go, but on route to that, it's highly likely that a bigger pharma player could come in and take them out. I mean, you know, companies like GlaxoSmithKline, companies like Shire Pharmaceuticals, all of these companies are looking for projects like this that can help them grow and develop their business. So it's entirely feasible that they may get taken out en route.
Okay, Al, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak next week.
Thanks, Just. Speak next week.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At 5, Cogent Power, CGP. At 4, Hemogenix, HEMO. At 3, Prospect Oil and Gas, PXOG. At 2, Main Energy, MYN. And number 1, most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours was Zenanga Iron. That's Z-I-O-C. All right, top 5 most liked RNSs are as follows. At 5, Blue Jay Mining, that's J, positive permitting update. At 4, Rehabil Resources, RBD, presentation at an investor evening. At 3, Iron Ridge Resources, joint venture agreement with Ivory Coast Gold Project. At 2, Main Energy, MYN, Forest Hill Field Development Update. And number 1, most liked RNS on the platform in the last 24 hours was from Metal Tiger. That's MTR, of course, Botswana Copper Silver Project, growing potential outside existing planned pit. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.